Welcome to The Disappearing Mind, a unique podcast helping you find clarity and support along your dementia journey. Now, join National Dementia Trainer and Coach, Dawn Platt, for an all-new episode.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I thank you for joining The Disappearing Mind. I am your host, Dawn Platt, and today we are going to get into a topic that's very specialized, and that is Lewy body dementia. I am going to share with you kind of a scenario and a storm that one of my dementia coaching families shared with me, and I guided them through. And I think that you will get something out of this today. It's called Navigating the Storm, a Lewy body dementia journey. I want to briefly introduce you to this couple that resided in one of our senior living communities in the memory care. And I helped this family and guided them through their dementia journey, hopefully giving them good tips to make decisions about their own personal dementia journey. In this scenario, it was a second marriage for this couple. And they were navigating the challenges of a diagnosis of Lewy body dementia. The husband has developed symptoms of wandering, anger, and aggression. His wife, a caregiver herself in the past, she worked in a nursing home, is trying to care for him at home, or did try and care for him at home until she came to one of our communities, while continuing to work. Complicating matters, the adult son from the husband's first marriage is uninvolved. He questions the wife's reports and her action, and he has been confrontational. This was a very difficult situation for the wife, and although she tried to be very understanding, it became overwhelming to the point where she really had to kind of shut the son off. He wasn't willing to come and care for dad. He wasn't willing to provide support, but he wanted to be involved in a lot of the decision-making and created some problems. And I think sometimes family members don't communicate well, and that's why it's so important that we have our wishes, our healthcare surrogate lined up, our healthcare power of attorney, all of those things in line so that those decisions don't have to be made afterwards by people who may or may not be related and who may or may not get along. Let's get into this. Let's talk a little bit about understanding Lewy body dementia. Lewy body has unique symptoms. It is very different than Alzheimer's disease or other types of dementia. Unlike Alzheimer's, Lewy body often presents with early hallucinations, significant fluctuations in alertness and cognitive ability. And it has a Parkinsonian movement symptom with it, meaning that they do have the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. There is some relationship. We're not going to get into that today, but Alzheimer's typically starts with memory loss, whereas Lewy body impacts attention and the visual perception area of the brain earlier. That can be quite confusing because there'll be a flux of alertness and confusion, which only compounds family members getting a diagnosis. What are the most common behaviors that a caregiver or family member may encounter with someone with Lewy body? Frequent wandering, visual hallucinations, delusions, mood swings, aggression, disrupted sleep cycles. These are some of the common things. And caregivers really must be vigilant about safety and behavior management in the Lewy body diagnosis, really in the very early stages, because there is such a flux in this individual. Managing wandering and aggression. So how can that be managed effectively? I think the first thing a person should do is install door alarms on the home and locks placed out of sight or reach of the individual just to keep them safe. Using visual deterrents like placing a black mat in front of doorways. This effect, we've talked about this a little bit before, but it kind of has a black hole type effect when there is some visual impairment, which is often the case with this individual. They're less likely to track in that direction. For sure, this person needs to consider having wearable GPS device to track movement, whether it's a bracelet, whatever the case might be. Definitely GPS if they have a phone. They need to be enrolled in a safe return program. These things are going to be very, very important for this individual. Caregivers with Lewy body should alert neighbors just so if there's something out of the ordinary, they're just not going to overlook it. They're not going to not pay attention to the person that they saw walking at midnight. And law enforcement, enroll them in a safe return program with your local agency or law enforcement. And yes, absolutely, inform neighbors and local police about the situation. Many police departments offer programs. They're named differently throughout the U.S., but register this person who is at risk of wandering so that a first responder could act quickly and have understanding and identity of what this person has been diagnosed with. What about aggression? How can the wife respond safely? Number one, avoid confrontation at all costs. It can escalate very quickly, and this person is no longer capable of managing the emotions, and so it goes from 0 to 60 in a very short period of time. So avoid confrontation. Speak calmly and give the husband space. Identify triggers and use distractions or soothing activities. Never hesitate to leave the room if the person's safety is at risk, especially if they're aggressive. They will most likely calm down if you're not in their personal space. Of course, ensure that they're safe, but you need to be safe as well. Pharmacological and non-pharmacological approaches. I like to talk about this because I do promote both, providing it's professionally done. I think both play a role, especially in Lewy body symptoms and managing them. But this person, it's going to take a professional. It may not always be effective the first time because people with Lewy body react in different ways to certain medications. Your pharmacist, your doctor, keep them up to date on what's happening. They may need to titrate medication multiple times to get it dialed in at what is going to support and help this particular individual. What role does medications play? Well, they can help if you can get it dialed in, but with caution. Certain medications may improve cognitive function and manage hallucinations. However, certain antipsychotics can worsen motor symptoms. It's really important that you have close collaboration with your healthcare team and your pharmacy. This is critical to have success. What is that? Non-pharmacological strategies, okay? So that's everything else that you could do to try and detour, distract, focus attention and energy that will help with behaviors. Again, and I say this almost every time, consistent routine, structure and consistent routine, hugely important. Don't let them get off their routine. Keep them active, keep them busy in a structured routine. Reduce environmental stressors in your home, in your outings, in your family, and engage in activities tailored to the person's abilities. Do not put them into a situation that is going to overwhelm, such as big parties or social or even a busy restaurant. If it's overstimulating to them, you are going to see behaviors. Be aware of what you're doing. Opt to go to the park where it's much more quiet on a sunny day and stroll, not lots of noise and those sorts of things. So really take a look at what they enjoy and what it is that you can put into their routine that will keep them busy, entertain, and exert energy. Physical exercise, walking, music therapy of any kind. If they love music, if they enjoy music, if they like seeing music, please use music therapy. Sensory stimulation can be helpful as well. All kinds of sensory stimulation, art, touch therapy, aromatherapy. It's just endless, a manipulative type device or object that they can work with really will be very, very helpful in a non-pharmacological approach. Family dynamics and legal rights. I want to touch on this because in this particular case with this particular family, it was a little bit difficult, but luckily the spouse had put these things in place legally, so the wife was able to do and provide the care as she saw fit because they had had the legal paperwork. She was the healthcare surrogate. She was the power of attorney. All of those things were in place. What option does the wife have when dealing with the son's accusations and threats? This was obviously very hurtful. I think that she tried everything that she could, but in the end, she really just had to walk away from this relationship because the son lived actually in another state, was not involved, and was unrealistic, and really did not believe what was being reported by her or by the physician, and he made his own decision. So document every encounter, I would say, and engage a social worker or a elder law attorney. Consider legal steps to secure guardianship or power of attorney if you don't have it. Definitely do that. In general, navigating dynamics and difficult conversations within blended families or even in non-blended families. So managing family dynamics can be one of the hardest aspects of caregiving, especially when there's conflict with a distant or uninvolved relative. And that happens as our parents age or we grow up, have a family of our own, we move off. So what challenges could this present? And in this case did. Family members who are not closely involved in daily care often misunderstand the complexities of dementia. And they didn't see it. They can't see it by telephone. Perhaps the person confabulates and talks really well. It's really hard for them as well. So they may doubt the caregiver's reports or underestimate the care required. This can lead to more accusations and mistrust and emotional strain. And in this case, it did. How should caregivers handle disagreements or accusations without involving the person with dementia? And I think that that's really important. And the advice that I gave this wife, don't involve the husband. Like, he's not part of this. He don't know what's going on. It's only going to cause him more distress. He's not going to understand it. So just don't do that. But avoid burdening the individual. Keeping conflict out of sight and earshot is going to be really, really important. Communicate directly with the concerned relative. Try and use a calm, factual language to describe behaviors and care needs to the best of your ability. Share any consented medical information. Provide as much evidence of the situation as you can. And then if it becomes to the point that you can't, then discontinue that. There is a psychological toll on the caregiver when they're under undue stress with the one they're caring for, and then another family member. It piles up. I always advise that you find support in coping with this. And how do you cope with the pain and frustration of being questioned by an unreasonable family member? First off, we need to recognize that the relative's denial, even their accusation, often stem from guilt or fear, and perhaps not malice. Maybe they're trying to repair their relationship or they feel guilty. You may want to try and address that with them. Seek emotional support from friends, support groups, or counselor to really process these feelings or frustration and grief, especially before you try and tackle and talk with this individual. Focus on the best interest of the loved one rather than engaging an unproductive argument. It does not matter. In the end, get some professional help in communicating with this family member. And then when should you seek outside mediation or legal assistance? If the accusations, and in this case they did, escalate to threats or legal disputes, you need to enlist a mediator, social worker, or an elder law attorney and establish a formal caregiving role, and a power of attorney can prevent further conflicts. How do you set boundaries and maintain emotional health is another very pertinent area that we talked about. You're going to have to set clear boundaries. You didn't ask for this. The person with dementia didn't ask for this. Setting boundaries about acceptable behavior and times for discussion are going to really help you. Protect personal time to avoid burnout. Learn and lean on professional advice to ensure decisions are well-informed and not susceptible to disputes. Really do everything that you can, but at the end of the day, it may not be enough. It's not necessarily just your decision. It's both parties' decision, so do the best you can. Let's just talk a few minutes about support and reaching out for help. It's something we always recommend, especially in Lewy body. It's quite different than the other types of dementia, but there is a national resource, the Lewy Body Dementia Association, that offers information and support. The advantage of this is that they are going to be most familiar with your situation because that's where people go for support when they have a Lewy body dementia diagnosis, for the most part, if they do access support. Again, the Alzheimer's Association has a 24/7 helpline and local support groups. Podcasts and others like it, I think, are going to be both very helpful. And again, caregivers can set boundaries and seek help before burnout occurs. Nobody likes to be doing the best you can and really carry the burden of caregiving and then be criticized. I think that's how most families really relate to me, that they are feeling, and I'm empathetic about that. Create a strong support network of friends and family and professionals. Use the services available to you. Also, look at respite and consider adult daycare programs. Set firm boundaries, such as designated quiet time. Prioritize self-care. And don't hesitate to ask for help. I mean, these are some key takeaways that I have for you. So I hope today, this hard conversation really, and it was for this particular wife who is doing very well right now. She's made some efforts and some steps and things are going along quite well. Her husband's doing well at the moment. She's got some help coming in. It's a journey, and a journey that you're not alone on, that we walk together. And certainly the Disappearing Mind podcast is all about education tips and suggestions for you on the caregiving journey. This isn't legal advice. This is not medical advice. This is just professional and personal tips and stories from many, many people and many, many years on my behalf, or being in the field and working with people with dementia. So I hope that they help you. Let's just recap a little bit before we close the podcast today. I'm going to just really hit on the importance of safety strategies. Safety is number one, always number one. Legal protections, if you do not have what you need, see an elder law attorney, your local attorney. Support networks, get established with them and learn how to manage these behaviors effectively. We don't want you or anyone else hurt due to dementia and dementia symptoms. I just want to encourage the listeners today to reach out to these national support organizations, especially if you're dealing with Lewy body dementia, which is so different than Alzheimer's disease or other common types of dementia. You aren't alone. There are other people who share your story. And I hope that today's podcast has been beneficial to you. Please listen, subscribe, share. Visit us on all social media platforms. Visit us at www.thedisappearingmind.com. Submit your questions, your comments. We would love to hear from you. Answer your questions on the podcast. Until next time, this is Dawn Platt. Sincerely, make it a memorable day.
Thank you for joining us for the Disappearing Mind podcast. We hope it's helped you find clarity and support along your journey. Be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode. Visit our website to suggest future topics. and share the podcast with friends and family.